Blog Talk Radio.
No longer a child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby kissed his lungs. My dad is not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting craps on his knee. Another victim born out here in the hood. And based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the pail, and daddy can't find, and it can't be seen, the family becomes a crime. The hunt is on, and brother, you're the prey, serving time in jail, it just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. We got to make a change, it's a brand new day.
A new world.
And it's on the way. We just marched 1,000,000+ the other day. Look, look, we all witnessed the sweat rolling down Miss Liberty's head. She knows the sleeping giant is no longer sleeping dead. Oh, what a fulfillment of prophecy. Let us teach the children freedom's never been free. It's okay to cry. Go ahead and cry, cause Jesus wept, but hope and faith be kept. It's a new day.
New world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
The die has been cast. And there's no need to fear, cause people, the answer to your prayers are here. Sister Mary, don't you weep. Tell mother not to moan. We need the love, and daddy's coming home. There's no need to worry. The times dictate a plan. Mother Earth's given birth to a brand new man. Sister, I know you're misunderstood, but hold on to your man, cause the future looks good. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new
a change of mind for the human race. A new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
Beware of the lies and false prophecy. We are many with the eyes, but don't all really see. You must be merciful, my friend, to obtain the same. So if you break the chains, don't pass the blame. We should say unto all, and I'll say it again, it's not just to win, shake a hand, make a friend. We who are pure at heart, somehow might see, there's still light in the world. Come rejoice with me, it's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world order, a brand new day. A change of mind for the human race.
It's a new day.
Thank you.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings. Tonight's platform is presented by Mothers and Family. And tonight's topic is Like Father, Like Son. And as I wish peace and blessings to all the God on earth throughout this platform, and peace and blessings to the kings and queens, being born into the original cipher, myself, Zion, a believer in the vision of the Honorable Chairman, Mr. Larry Hoover, a vanguard for the liberation of all indigenous and oppressed human beings, and a father and an exuberant son. Tonight, as me and God build upon the topic of like father, like son, and the relationships, I want you to please keep in mind that this is also pertaining to the fathers who may not have a son, but a daughter. This is even for the brother who's not yet a father, but one day aspires to be a better father than he has may have been. And I'm going to read a poem called Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy. Walk a little plainer, Daddy, said the little boy so small. I'm following your footsteps, and I don't want to fall. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they are hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that you once walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I would really like to know. For sometimes when I am tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you are like I want to be. Then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. I will want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Know that as a fruit tree is only as fruitful as the fruit it bears, we must first understand how we can get to the ripeness of that fruit. And we must first examine the center of the root, which is the very essence and manifestation of the seed or the seed of thought. And as I pose a question, I want us all to keep a picture in our mind of our favorite fruit. Now imagine this piece of fruit as a reflection of your child. How can we, as parents and as fathers, be more involved on a consistent basis, being aware of our children's growth and development while giving them nurturance in the process? Ask yourself, can I do more? Am I willing to do more? And yes, I can. And as we build tonight, we're going to be dealing with four principles, and that's involvement, consistency, awareness, and nurturance. With that, I yield. Peace, God.
Bows up. Peace, God. God, and justice. Round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So kind.
Yeah,
as we
deal
tonight, God, what's on your mind?
I'm gonna open it up on peace of God, God and justice, peace of God, God and justice. Each and every day, each and every one gonna strong prove and teach the righteous way. Peace on lay leg on head and justice, peace on lay leg on head and justice. Knowledge is the foundation, wisdom is the way. Understand the shoulders your way. Cut the zack up out of the truth. Crawl on the shoulders you plan your route. God can't teach us the righteous way, number build on what he has taught us. Be to be born is the most glorious day. Knowledge of the cipher is the light and let you know the God right amongst you. Peace, God. Being born to the real cipher myself, I need something more than mine. Today's theme and topic is like father, like son. You know what I'm saying? Like king, like prince. And it says that fruit tree is only as fruitful as the tree it bears. And what I see in this topic is statistics or the reasons why, you know what I'm saying, that our nations are going where they're going right now, and why our youth is being led in a whole other direction from what they need to be learning. You know what I'm saying? Basically, like things they see on TV or the role models that they see every day, you know what I'm saying, in their environments, in their communities and neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? So a fruit is only as fruitful as, you know what I'm saying, from the tree it came from. You know what I'm saying? So basically, when they seeing what they see in front of them every day in their environment, it plays a big part on their psychological effect, because they begin to feel like this is a way of life. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know a way of life is, you know what I'm saying? And I'm peace with that. Yeah, but, still on.
Peace, God.
Still on.
Peace, God. Can you hear me? Peace.
Wow.
Okay. They said that a lot of fathers are absentee and not in the home, and that we don't care about our kids and that we leave them as a bastard child. But I am going to prove that that is a myth. In 2015, the CDC debunked this myth of absent fathers. We're talking about black fathers. According to the CDC in 2015, 73.9% of black fathers either fed or ate meals with their child daily. You understand what that means? 73.9% of black fathers fed or ate meals with their children daily. This is a myth that they say that we're not present in our kids' lives. 60% either bathe, diaper, or dress their child daily. 82.7% play with their children daily. 30.2% read to their child daily. And these statistics are related to black children under the age of 5. Now, we know that a lot of our fathers wasn't there, and a lot of us are not there right now due to our circumstance of being incarcerated. But that doesn't mean that we can't be in charge and be involved in our child's life on a consistent basis. And as we look at the word involvement, God, I want you to basically give me your brief breakdown of how you think a father should be more involved in his child's life. How you, God?
Yeah, peace, God.
Power.
Well, from my intellect, you know, I feel like little small things count. Small things matter, like, you know, driving your child to school, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times when I was coming up, before I even started riding the bus, you know what I'm saying, using government transportation, you know what I'm saying, my people would tell each other, like, well, now we need to make sure he get to school, you know what I'm saying? Things like that are important nowadays, you know. It's good, like you said the other day, to do a background check, you know what I'm saying, call and check on them, you know what I'm saying, call the school, you know what I'm saying, be waiting at the bus stop. Or take them to school, you know what I'm saying? Start helping them more with their homework, you know what I'm saying? Just little things count. It ain't always about the economic aspect, you know what I'm saying? Because nowadays, they feel like they can pay a child off and that's the end. Now, most of the time, a child wants to be there, you know what I'm saying? And there's certain things they want to experience physically, you know what I'm saying? And spiritually with a father, you know what I'm saying? Because he's coming up in your eyesight. So anything that you do, he's going to mimic, you know what I'm saying? It might not be to the extent, or be a little worse, but he's going to mimic, you know what I'm saying? And so, that's why you see a lot of guys nowadays, they be wondering why they come to prison, and then boom, they family members, you know what I'm saying, younger male family members come behind them, you know what I'm saying? It's because they actually was watching their influences, you know what I'm saying? They was observing these guys, and they felt that was a way for them, so it was a way of life for me, you know what I'm saying? But you got to teach them other different ways, you know what I'm saying, to get around things. You know, like, even if we don't supposed to just focus on sports and things like that, it'd be good, you know what I'm saying, to have a hobby, you know what I'm saying, to do music, write poetry, you know what I'm saying. And if they do, they, you know what I'm saying, art, anything, just, you know what I'm saying, help them out with it, you know what I'm saying. If you just taking a look at it and say, hey, man, I like that, you did a good job, you know what I'm saying, things like that help, you know what I'm saying, because it's all about the support aspect. And when you build in the support aspect, then they understand that they have somebody behind them. And it's just like even with who's incarcerated, you know what I'm saying, or up under government custody, you know what I'm saying, when you know you have outside support, it's going to elevate you to want to do the best of your ability, you know what I'm saying, to keep from your right being violated or coming out of your circumstance that you have succumbed to, you know what I'm saying. And that's what I teach.
That's power, God. As I look at involvement, I think that involvement measures the level of participation that a father has with his child, or being engaged or drawn into. Usually a father that's involved, he tends to go out of his way to interact with his child. He may even give up some of his leisure time in order to gain more time with his child. These fathers are often involved in the daily care of their children. An example is playing or working with them, attending their activities, or just spending structured or unstructured time together. bonding, binding or tightening or strengthening something. Reading stories, working on projects, asking them, what do you want to do? Writing them a letter. Taking the time out to take them to lunch or on a date. And God, by me being incarcerated, I know you don't have any kids right now at this point, but I have a 13-year-old son who's going on 14. And even though I may not physically be there, I still take the time and initiative to try to reach out to him, whether it's through a letter or through a phone call, or just calling out to one of my brothers or my sister and letting them know that, hey, letting them know I'm thinking about him. Or getting in contact with mom and just letting them know, hey, let my son know I'm thinking about him. So even though we are in our present circumstances, it's still not an excuse for us not trying to be involved in our kids' lives. The next one we're going to deal with is consistency. And God, as we build on consistency, it says to maintain a level of predictability in personal characteristics and in fathering habits, having dignity and integrity, good and positive morals, principles, and standards. Give me your build on that, God.
Well, he said basically consistency. Basically, you have to, like I said, you have to teach them more. You have to actually be there, you know what I'm saying? Because if you don't have knowledge of the same things you're trying to teach them, it's basically blasphemy, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to break that down. See, like me growing up, my father wasn't ever really there for me, you know what I'm saying? But over the years, you know what I'm saying, he started to progress and started to do certain things. So my mama would tell me, hey, you got to realize he's still your dad, you know what I'm saying? Even if he tries, you know what I'm saying? You got to give him that benefit of a doubt, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know what I'm saying? You got to realize and understand his circumstances. He stays in another state. Okay, so basically most kids can't deal with those type of things, can't delve into those same type of chemical frame, so they go off into other things. You know what I'm saying? So basically what I'm saying is you better to start actually teaching them your own curriculum at home. Don't just let the teacher tell them anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Grandview magazine or, you know what I'm saying, a historic magazine or a historical book, you know what I'm saying, or a different biography. Not too much action movies and comedy movies. Now, you know, something they can learn about themselves, like the Queen was saying the other night about watching the New Roots. You know what I'm saying? Watch movies about your history, your culture, about the things that they went through as a family, you know what I'm saying, for them to break us apart, you know what I'm saying, the Willie Lynch theory, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, and then things as such.
Okay, God. Let's say dads usually in this category are steadfast and diligent in performing their fatherly duties, even when it costs them or they have to put in extra effort to maintain a pattern of predictability, even in the face of hardship. These fathers are also flexible in their interaction with their child's changing needs. But my father, he wasn't physically there because he was in the military. But at the same time, he did his best to be involved financially, as well as he took the time out to come see me. It may not have been on an everyday basis, you know what I'm saying, due to the circumstances of me not being with him, but he did try his best. And that's the thing that we have to do. We have to be consistent with our kids so they know what to expect from us and not be a sometime dad. And key examples are keeping your promise, guarding your word, never over-promising. See, when you keep your promise, you let your word be bond, and you instill in your child that, hey, my word is dependable. You can always count on me. And it says, guard your words, don't never over-promise. See, we must guard our words around our kids because a lot of times we use words out of context. And then when these kids come back and ask us, hey, what that means, then we don't really know what to tell them because we've been using the word wrongly and accurately for so long. So we always want to make sure our words are our bonds. It says, plan regularly scheduled family trips. Develop hobbies or skills with your children. Help them be creative and critical thinkers. When you interact with your child and you get to build them up and you know what their self-esteem is like, that's when you begin to build that creativeness in them and allow them to think on their own and not be afraid to think on their own. And this is what we must do. We must be consistent with our kids and allow them to be themselves. Now we're going to build on awareness. Awareness is having knowledge and understanding of your child's development, being conscious of your child's daily experiences, growth needs, and characteristics. God, as we build on awareness, give me some of your examples of how a father can be more aware in their child's growth and development.
Well, Fisa.
Wow.
Yo, I feel like they can be more aware by actually assisting them, you know what I'm saying, when they actually do go to school, you know what I'm saying? Don't just listen to everything that the teacher tells them, you know what I'm saying? The reason I keep speaking on that aspect because a lot of times teachers misuse, you know what I'm saying, students, you know what I'm saying? When they feel like a learning disability, they always want to classify them for ELD, you know what I'm saying, or put you in on phonics, you know what I'm saying? Try to find a way to get money off of you. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I had that problem with a teacher before. And sometimes it's good to go in and check for yourself, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, at home, it's better to teach them the way you need to teach, you know what I'm saying? They can actually learn it and not just memorize, you know what I'm saying? The West side of way of thinking, you know what I'm saying? Putting things in a comparison. And so another way you could teach them to be about being more aware, you know what I'm saying? Take them to more different areas where other people have it worse, you know what I'm saying? Actually, take them to more poverty area and show them, you know what I'm saying? Well, even though your life might be this way right here, there's always somebody who got it worse. You know what I'm saying? Show them more, you know what I'm saying, cultural channels, you know what I'm saying? Like where they living at in Ethiopia, how they starve, you know what I'm saying? Or Haiti, you know what I'm saying? Or Indonesia and different places, you know what I'm saying? They have as much as we do in the United States, and they laws are more stricter, you know what I'm saying? And to show them about how free they are to really, you know what I'm saying, anything they put their mind to, you know what I'm saying, because really, in reality, you know what I'm saying, it might be unfair, but America is one of the most free nations, you know what I'm saying, in the world, you know what I'm saying, because in certain areas, you can't even wear, you know what I'm saying, certain type of clothing or wear your hair a certain kind of way, and certain females, you know what I'm saying, who are of certain statuses, they can't even uncover their faces until after they're married, you know what I'm saying. So, you know, our ways of life are different, you know what I'm saying? So it's good for them to learn about all the different type of cultures, you know what I'm saying? The red, black, brown, the yellow, thing, you know what I'm saying? The mulatto, the white, you know what I'm saying? And whatever else races of color, you know what I'm saying?
Power of God. Well, in awareness, this is a father who not only has sufficient interaction with his child to know the particular needs, characteristics, and daily happenings of his children, he also knows how the child perceives these different events in the context of his or her own development. These dads know the daily experiences of their child at home, school, and in the community. Well, when I was coming up, when I turned the age of 15, I ended up moving out to California for 3 years with my dad. In those 3 years that I was out there, he showed me awareness. Because not only was he involved on a consistent basis and aware of what was going on in my home and my schooling, he was involved with my daily activities in the community. As far as me playing sports, he never missed a game. Practice, he never missed taking me to practice. You know, even when I had different plays for dramas and public speaking events, he was always present to give me his support. An example of awareness is asking questions but never interrogating, spending time with your child on their turf, keeping watch of what's going on with them but avoid staring, knowing about your child's development stages and listening to the child's mother, teacher, and coaches. We must be aware of what's going on with our child's development, and we must be assertive when it comes to what's going on with them, because nowadays you have the kids raising themselves. They're allowing the TVs and the music and the video games to take up the time that could be constructive and productive to them. And even though, like I said, once again, we're not there, we must be still aware of what's going on with our child development, because their lives depend on it. And as we build on nurturing or nurturing, it says responding to the emotional needs of your child, comforting, encouraging, affirming or reassuring, as well as listening to them, being attentive as you train them in the proper productive manner. And God, as we build upon nurturing or nurturance, give me your breakdown of how a father can be more nurturing in the process of that child's growth and development.
I feel like a father can be more nurturing, you know what I'm saying, by being more observant of his child, you know what I'm saying? Just even if he's just sitting there watching TV, you know what I'm saying? Just be sitting there in the room, you know what I'm saying? Just watching him, you know what I'm saying? Challenge his intellect a little bit, you know what I'm saying? When he sees certain things, ask him what else does he see besides just what he sees in front of him, because, you know, they say a picture, you know what I'm saying, can say 1,000 words, and one word can paint 1,000 pictures, you know what I'm saying? So what they mean by that is, you know what I'm saying, it's a million aspects to every objective, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of young guys nowadays, they don't look outside the box, you know what I'm saying? They always get taught a format to look outside the box or be taught, you're looking from the inside, from the outside looking in. But basically, you have to look from an area view, which is over the head, you know what I'm saying, being able to see everything. And so a lot of guys nowadays, they just need that challenge, you know what I'm saying? So a father can be there and challenge their son's intellect, it'll make them start using their brain more, start using the right side. And this is the ability to direct the ultimatum within oneself, you know what I'm saying? Because when you're always just memorizing something, it's going to be like a basic systematic order. But if you already know something, you know what I'm saying, within your heart, and you don't ever look at something just from what it is in front of you, you look at it from the metaphysical aspect as well, then you always going to have a divine and a unique ideology about everything that you perceive. With that, our peace.
Okay, God, that's peace. So this type of father is proactive in offering his child affirmation and comfort. They usually initiate the giving of recognition for the child's qualities and achievements, readily reaching out with general responses and perceptions. This father intentionally builds up the child's self-esteem. He is gentle in his provision of correction and never harshly criticizes his child. He usually tends to encourage his child when they know the child is at a point of discouragement. An example is expressing affection, telling your child that you love them, giving them an appropriate affectionate touch, pat on the back, a hug, a hand squeeze, or holding hands, even a gentle kiss on the face. An example, cheek or forehead, a tummy tickle. To encourage your child, help them reach their goals. Listen to your kid. And as we build on nurturing, I came up in a nurturing home because I was raised by a lot of women. And a lot of fathers usually told their kids that a man is not supposed to cry, that we're tough. But we also know that by us being part of our mother, we have a Y chromosome that also makes us emotional beings. And there's nothing wrong to teach your child that a man cries at times. But at the same time, you don't stay down, you get back up, and you keep striving. And as we build tonight, I want you guys to call in and give me your feedback on how a father can be more involved on a consistent basis, being aware of your child's growth and development in the process of nurturing. That I yield. Queen, do we have any callers?
Yes, we have one caller. It's 5064.
5064. You're now live with us on the queue. Peace. 5064, you're now live with us on the queue. Peace. Peace. 5064, you're now live with us on the queue. Peace.
Peace. Peace. Can you hear me?
Peace, yeah, Brian.
Peace, up.
Yo, this kid, God, I want to say peace all to God. Peace all to Earth.
God.
Peace to all the beautiful black women. Peace to everybody who's about to struggle. And I want to say that, you know, when it comes to a father is the example for a son. Or a man is the example for a boy. And a lot of people get it kind of confused because they don't want to, you know, accept the fact of what position of life they're in right now. Some people are in a position of life of just being a boy. And the reason why is because they haven't respected the attitude of a man. See, the transformation from boy to a man is one of the biggest transformations in the world. And once a black male becomes a black man, the enemy knows that it's another challenge to his world. It's another challenge to what he built to hold that boy down to becoming a man. And I want to say this right here. You know, once that transformation is made, the world changes a little bit. Because this world was made to go against that transformation. And, you know, I don't want to get all biblical, but it's all in the Bible, you know. They always killed off the boy, always killed off the man child, always. Pharaoh heard there was going to be some kind of savior that was going to rise up and free the people. So he killed off all the boys. King Herod heard there was going to be some kind of Messiah rise up. So he killed off all the young boys in his day and age, you know. So it was always a plot and a plan to kill the boy and stop him from becoming a man. Because that's one of the biggest transformations ever, you know. And these days, the world is in need of the black boys to become black men. But the world is set up for that process to happen. So, men, the black men who are in position to be father figures, they have to step up and be examples for the young black boys who don't know that they are in a position of a boy. See, it's a pride thing that play a part in it, but people got to accept their position. You know, when I was a boy, I accepted that fact, and I chose to follow men. I chose to respect the attitude of men, and these men taught me and raised me in prison. These men taught me and raised me. I was 21 years old, and I was in my boyhood, you know, and I accepted that fact. But, you know, the number one principle I'm trying to kick right here is you cannot become what you don't respect. And that's just simple, you know. You can't become what you don't respect. Self-respect gives you the connection to become a better person, become a better, you know, a better human being, a stronger fighter. You got to have self-respect. You got to know your weaknesses. You got to know where to touch. You got to know where to, you know, become stronger, become smarter. And I don't want to take up too much time. I just wanted to say that. So I want to peace with that.
That's peace, God. That's peace. We appreciate you calling in, man, with that insight, man, and that deal, because you're absolutely correct. You know what I'm saying? It is time for us to start being examples and start being what we preach, so to speak. They always to say, don't kill the message. Kill the messenger. Well, my thing was, if the messenger wasn't speaking what he was speaking, the message that he was trying to deliver, kill them both, you know, because we are what we say through our example and through our deed. So you're
mm-hmm.
absolutely right, bro, and we appreciate that. God?
Yeah, I totally agree, you know what I'm saying, because a lot of guys nowadays, you know, they'll put the sack in the kid's hand and the pistol, you know what I'm saying, but they don't teach them their constitutional rights, you know what I'm saying, or the rights they don't have, you know what I'm saying, and all the laws that they're making against us because of these reasons, you know what I'm saying. And I totally agree with what God was saying, you know, that's part of the part about nurturing, you know what I'm saying, and being more consistent, you know what I'm saying, with dealing, you know what I'm saying, with the new youth coming up under us, you know what I'm saying. They need more support. They need more nurturing. You know what I'm saying? And yet, I really agree with that. That's our piece.
Well, I'm gonna read some statistics that come from 2015 CDC also, and this is for the ages 5 through 18. It says 64% of black fathers ate meals with their child daily. 19.5% took their children to and from daily activity. 28.1% helped child with homework or checked to make sure that they had finished it. There are 67% of black dads who don't live with their children but see them at least once a month, compared to 59% of white dads and 32% of Hispanic dads. Black dads are even more likely to think it's important to financially provide for their children. Now, as we think about that and these statistics, these are my very astounding numbers, actually, you know what I'm saying, that a black man is present in his child's life, regardless if we only make up, 14% of the population, but 85% of the prison population. So in that number, we know that there's some fathers that's in prison that are dedicated on a consistent basis and involved in their kids' lives. I want to pose another question. At what age is it appropriate for us to start having deep talk with our boy? And when I say deep talk, I'm not talking about the birds and the bees. I'm talking about the talk of being young, being black, and being feared. Many of us that have kids that are in the age bracket of driving, we know that there's always the possibility of him being pulled over for DWB, and that's driving while black. And now that it's summertime and school is out, we know that kids love to drive, go 3 or 4 car deep with the music turned up loud. So what should we do to show that our kids and get our kids to carry and conduct themselves with respect in order to gain respect, knowing that they have the possibility of being pulled over while driving black? God, what's your take on that? A year.
Well, I feel like we need to start teaching them about manners while driving, you know what I'm saying? Like certain do's and don'ts, you know what I'm saying? Like swerving, you know what I'm saying? Or, if you know, if they allow their children to smoke, you know, most people don't allow their children to smoke, but, you know what I'm saying, they are smoking, you know what I'm saying? Pull over somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Don't be driving real, you know what I'm saying, real numerous, you know, real deep, you know what I'm saying, with a whole bunch of people in the car. You know what I'm saying? Don't be riding with loud music. You know what I'm saying? Start teaching them about driving 2 miles under the speed limit. You know what I'm saying? And start teaching them their rights. You know, when the police pull them over, if they don't want to get searched and they have all the proper information, you know what I'm saying? And they don't feel comfortable, get out the car, lock the door, you know what I'm saying? And keep walking. They can't do nothing to you, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't know that, you know what I'm saying? So, it'll be good for them to understand the law, you know, the judicial system, you know what I'm saying, the rules that conduct the law, you know what I'm saying, because a lot of times people always become victim of illegal searches and seizures, you know what I'm saying, which is a violation of the Fifth Amendment, you know what I'm saying. And so when they don't understand these violations, a lot of these arrests, you know what I'm saying, or harassments of, you know what I'm saying, the law enforcement comes under not knowing, you know what I'm saying, not having the knowledge. So as long as we start to educate our children, you know what I'm saying, about more about their rights, you know what I'm saying, while driving, well, you know what I'm saying, becoming older in life, you know what I'm saying, certain things you need to learn. I feel like appropriate age for them to start learning would be around 14 to 15, but nowadays it's better for them to learn at least around about 12 when they come out of puberty, you know what I'm saying, because a lot of teens, you know what I'm saying, are growing up way faster than we did. You know what I'm saying? I was talking to a female the other day, and she was going to see her nephew. He had been locked up 2 years, and he ain't number 12 years old. You know what I'm saying? So we got to start speeding the process of, you know, the King Tut was a prince at 3, you know what I'm saying, and the king at 10, you know what I'm saying? So we have to get back to those old ways, like father, like son. You know what I'm saying? We have to be children under the sun and children of the sun, you know what I'm saying, teach them the ways of the God. Not of the ways of the land, you know what I'm saying? And with that, I peace.
That's peace, God. Well, I agree, you know, that we should start young, you know, when it comes to giving our kids, mainly our boys, this talk. But I think the best age that we should start at is early as 5 or 6 years old, you know, because there's going to be a time when you may be driving, and by your child being so young, they're eager to learn, they always want to ask questions, and they soak up like a sponge. So let's say one day that you're pulled over by a police officer, and this officer is harassing you, but you're doing everything that you can to conduct yourself in a proper manner. And let's say you do get away with a speeding ticket. Your son asks you, "Dad, what did that officer pull you over for? Why was he acting that way? What is there to tell him?" Do you tell him, "Son, it was nothing"? Do you brush him to the side? Or do you be honest with him and let him know, "Son, first of all, Dad wasn't doing nothing but driving properly. But due to Dad being black and driving a nice car, this officer decided to pull me over." You know, we must be honest with our kids and let them know that the odds are already against you. Because first of all, you're black, and you're a man, you're a male, and you're feared by most. Not because of your physical strength, but due to your mental capacity, your intellect. And it's our responsibility that we give them the necessary tools that they know they self and they know their basic human rights. And like he was saying, God, we must start preparing our kids at the age of puberty when they start to drive or learn how to drive that, hey, if you ever pulled over, you have your seatbelt on, you got your hands on the wheel, and you follow instructions when you're given it, and you conduct yourself with a respectful manner. You know, and if anything else go wrong after that, then I'll deal with it. But we got to start letting our kids know that, first of all, you don't talk to the police officer unless it's necessary. Other than that, you keep your mouth closed because you got the right to remain silent if you are being charged with something. Also, if you're in compliance and you ask the officer, "Hey, what I'm being pulled over for," and they tell you some bullshit and they want to search you or get you to step out of the car, you have the right to refuse a search and seizure. And then even if you are booked on charges, you still have the right to a phone call and as well as have your parent or legal guardian present along with an attorney. See, a lot of our kids are in the system right now due to them not being aware of their rights, you know, not having the right or being able to exercise your right of having your parent present. You know, they say ignorance of the law is your fault. So you can't blame them for you not knowing. But many black men right now today are behind these prison bars because they didn't know that they had a right to keep their mouth closed. Queen, as we build on this question, what age is it appropriate for us to start having to talk with our boys? Do we have any callers?
Yes. 1044.
Peace, 1044. You're now live with us on the queue. Peace,
well, thank brother. You. This is Mother Ray.
Peace, Mother Ray. How you doing, Queen?
I'm good, sweetheart. How about yourself?
Well, we're live and kicking. We're striving daily.
And that's a good thing.
And the firm.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Okay, I wanted to make a comment about when it's the right, a good time to start talking to your son. But not only to your son, nowadays to your daughters as well. And a good time to start talking is when mommy is carrying that child in her stomach. Because you, whether you know it or not, which you probably don't know, when a lady is pregnant, you can talk to your child at a certain time and rub the stomach, and that child will respond to you. And as, you know, she goes on, then you continue talking to that child. And when that baby is born, you continue talking from the day that the child is conceived to the day that child is born. You continue talking. And you don't let up until it's, I mean, even when they're grown, you still talk. Just like now, my father and I, we still talk. Now, you never get too old to listen or to learn. So there's not a set age that you start talking or stop talking to your child. And, I mean, you know, I still talk to my aunts now. And so, to me, there's no certain age. I mean, always talk to your child, even from day one up until the day that they are. And they're not going to always listen. You all know that. They're not going to always listen. They're not going to always do what you say to. But, I mean, now we have to talk to our son, our daughter, and all of our kids. I mean, our nieces, nephews, they all, we have to talk to all of them. And this is what they need. And this is what we're going to have to get back, you know, into to keep our kids, to keep them safe. That's what we have to do. And that's all I have to say.
Well, we appreciate you, Mother Ray, for those insightful motherly words, because you know best, you know, by you being a mother, you know, and raising yours. And you know the best tools that it would take to make sure that we are in a proper step that we're supposed to be, and that we conduct ourselves and reflect not only our fathers but our mothers as well, because you all take the major care of our development, you know, teaching us how to survive, how to cook, how to clean, you know, what kind of woman to bring it to the house, you know, because we know the mom is not going, she's not going to accept no anything. So, you know, we want to make sure that our women are a reflection of our mothers. So we appreciate you all, your input, and appreciate you coming in and giving us the support. God is, we just heard Mother
Ray.
Give me your.
I have three more callers we need to bring in.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Do we have any more calls right now?
Yes, we have 2596.
2596. Peace, you're not allowed to look on the queue.
Peace and blessings across the board to the family and the life.
Peace, God.
Hey, man, I just had to stop through this topic right here. You know what I'm saying? This is a topic that we could do a show on every week, because as I'm listening to the lessons that's being expressed, I'm understanding that a rites of passage. Before our people were brought to this continent, and most indigenous people have a rites of passage for their males as well as for their females. They have to go through a ceremony, through rituals, in order to make sure that they have all the tools that they need to be successful in life. So, you know, saying that topic, it really touched base with me, and I was listening, but Mother Ray put me on a whole nother plane of thought. And
right.
I was just reading something earlier today where, you know, that we're making a lot of publicity, a lot of noise across the country about young black males being killed by police officers, young black males being arrested, young black males being railroaded into prison. And while we caught up in the hype of that, we missing the largest growing number of people being incarcerated, the largest number, growing number of people being killed by police are women, black women, our children, our daughters, our sisters, our aunts, our mothers. So, you know, it's all around the board, you know what I'm saying? At one time, there was a lot of emphasis placed on being a young black male in America and what that meant. But, you know what I'm saying, we have to update our software, you know what I'm saying, and realize that that space is not just young black males. That space is for young black lives, period, because a lot of our sisters are being railroaded into these prisons. A lot of our sisters are being mishandled by police in the street. A lot of them are being killed. I looked at the numbers today. Women are 22% of the people being killed by police, but they only make up 7% of the population. And, you know, so we have to get back to what Mother Ray said, not just talking to our sons, been talking to our daughters, our nephews, nieces, and our mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles as well. We have to keep the lines of communication open if we really and truly want to show ourselves and our family and our communities that we care about ourselves, that our lives matter to us. And it don't just start with us, but we have to get into the community and get with these children and start creating avenues for these children to be able to express themselves and to learn. Places like this right here, this Father-like Son Youth Summit, you know, saying this should be filled up with 5 to 15-year-olds or 5 to 20-year-olds. And, you know, this should be a weekly thing, a rite of passage where you get your understanding on life, that you get your understanding on what's going on in the world on a group level. But as fathers and as mothers, we definitely have to put our playtime and our club time and our get high time and our grind time. And, you know, we need to put all that stuff in check and focus on what's most important. And that's some children that we brought into this world that didn't ask to come here. These children, and neither one of them didn't ask to come here. We brought them here, and it's our duty and our responsibility to equip them with the tools they need to make it and survive in this country. So, you know, I just wanted to come in and give my insight on, you know, this is a beautiful topic. It's a beautiful conversation that needs to be had on a daily basis. And, you know, so I just wanted to take my hat off to you brothers for coming up with a beautiful topic and for dissecting this topic that we all can get a understanding of and to pass that understanding on. And I peace with that.
It's power, God. We appreciate you stopping through, man, giving us your kind words of inspiration and motivation to the fathers, man. You're absolutely right. We got to unify. We got to get back to the roots. We got to get back to that love. Mother Ray, do we have any more callers?
It's Queen Kamaria. And, yes, it's 7658.
Okay, excuse me, Queen. 7658. Peace, you're not live with us in the queue.
I was fired.
Peace and blessings, this is Nikki.
Peace, sister, how you doing?
I'm good. How's everybody doing?
Well, and you?
Good. I agree with what Mama Ray and Kinetic said, and even the brother that was speaking, you know, prior to Mama Ray, it doesn't just start when they get at the age that they start driving. At that point, it's really too late. It starts when they're young. I have a daughter that's 8 years old, and, you know, in school they're taught, oh, the police are good, they're this, they're that. So, hey, mommy or daddy gets pulled over, and they don't know no better. They want to start a whole conversation with the policeman. No, we're going to be respectful, but we're not having no conversation. And then they need to understand what goes on, like why we were just pulled over, what just happened. Talk through it, work through it. And they need to understand that, yes, we have to be respectful, but at the same time, we don't have to get out of the car. There are certain things that we don't have to do, and the children may put you in a situation to where they don't know no better. So say, you know, you got brother riding around the 16 with little sister, little brother in the car that's 3 or 4, and, you know, the child probably, they don't know no better. So it does start at an early age. It starts really from the time they start coming up and they start learning and talking and walking and all of that, all the way up until you can't talk no more. And that's just my opinion. Did I peace with that?
That's peace, Sister Nikki. We appreciate you calling in with that motherly insight. You're absolutely right. Like Mother Ray said, we got to start as early as the womb, you know, that little precious seed, you know, that one day will evolve into something great. Queen Kamaria, do we have any other callers?
Yes, it's 7156.
7156. Peace, you're not allowed with us in the queue. 7156. Peace, you're not allowed with us in the queue. Peace, once again, 7156. You're not live with us in the queue. Peace. Can you hear us? Queen, they probably pressed one by accident, I guess.
Okay, we have 9428.
9428. Peace, you're not live with us in the queue.
A foul there, bro. What's happening, man? Hey, man, I'm enjoying the topic tonight. How y'all brothers doing?
Oh, man, we're doing well, brother. Peace, how you doing?
Big wise from GK, man. I was trying to get my son on tonight with us, man, because I really wanted him to hear this too. And I don't know, I can't catch up with him, but hopefully I'll catch the next one, man. It was a beautiful topic, man, especially for our children out there. That seemed as though, you know, it seemed as though we have moved into a whole new era of how we're raising our children. And I can imagine now that from 5 or 10 years from now, you know what I'm saying, especially with the type of content that's out there for us, dealing with music and movies and stuff like that, and video games, you know what I'm saying, our whole mind frame, even up for elders, you know what I'm saying, the ones that's a little older, we aren't that far removed from, you know, how things used to be, as opposed to what type of material we're dealing with today. And, you know, things like rap and music videos and stuff like that, you know, that was part of our upbringing too. So our children, you know what I'm saying, if our mind frames was some kind of way influenced by that, I can imagine now, you know what I'm saying, even with the way we think that, although we're coming to a better awareness of consciousness, that it's still that polluted part of our mind that's, you know, that helped influence our children when they were born, when they came along, and coupled with the things that they're being taught today, you know, the things that influence them, you're not going to imagine that, you know what I'm saying, we're going to have a major problem on our hands if we don't do something about what's going on with our children. And me and my brother was talking last night about that conference, he had actually brought up the subject, which was, now I take that back, we were talking before the conference, and he had brought up the subject about how he was raising his son, and he realized how wrong he was. And it was amazing how, you know, once we got to the conference, that topic was brought up again. And I let them know, you know, that was confirmation, though. That was us, you know what I'm saying? That was us needing to understand that, you know, we need to put forth more effort into how we're raising our children, how we are grooming them, the type of things that we're allowing them to be exposed to, you know what I'm saying? And our own dealings with our children, you know what I'm saying, how we relate to them. Because a lot of us, and I used to be real bad about it, you know, being a friend to my son instead of a father, a dad. But I can imagine, though, you know, 2 years from now, you know, if we allow this cycle to continue, you know what I'm saying, then our future, man, is even more doomed by us as a people and as men, you know, for not taking the initiative to reach and teach and install in them those things that they need to help them develop into the man that they were created to be. And with that, I peace.
Power, God.
The power, God. Queen, do we have any more callers?
Yes, we have 7156.
7156. Peace, you're not allowed to listen to you.
7156.
You're not allowed
to
listen to you. Peace, God. Peace, God. You liking the video, God?
Yeah, I'm liking it. I had y'all call my numbers earlier, but it was kind of cloudy outside. I couldn't come in right then. I couldn't say nothing. Yeah, I was liking the bill. I'm really liking what Mother Ray said as far as talking to the seed when it's in the womb. And I heard did a study on the research on that, and And that's the most important time in the prenatal stage of development of your child, when it's in the womb, it's in the mother womb. So it's important for the mother for the read and research and think properly. And it's important for the father to talk to that seed while it's in the womb. You know, so that's where I think they came up from the cradle to the grave. You receive knowledge and guidance from what's going on. But, you know, I think we were doing that, and I think we just had the wrong understanding, the wrong ideas about life, and we were guiding our seeds for destruction. So what we need to do is we need to just offset our mind frame and turn it back to our ancestors. And we need to guide our seeds in the right direction and stop feeding our seeds with self-hate. Things pausing their mind like you can't trust them no far and you can see them, or no far you can throw them, or show them how to clip, shoot this and shoot that, dice and crap, instead of developing our seed mind into being the productive citizen for our society, not their society. We're training our seeds for the work for them and not for us. And we don't even invest in our seeds, you know. So we got to start investing in our seeds and taking more time out, you know what I'm saying? And not just our seed, you know. Everybody's seed, your neighbor's seed, that's your seed, you know what I'm saying? It takes a village to raise a child, you know what I mean? It takes everybody to put in work. Your seed is my seed. His seed is my seed. My seed is your seed. And we got to start looking at it like that, from that point of view. You know what I'm saying? And because we've been taking the wrong turn. You know what I'm saying? Wrong turn, Clyde. We've been taking that. You know what I'm saying? And to be going down the wrong road in respect, and we're looking for different results, that's insane. You know, so I had read a book, and I interpreted the book. It's the transformation, and in this book is when the caterpillar go into the cocoon. Once the caterpillar is into the cocoon, the caterpillar is being fed and nurtured in the cocoon, and the cocoon is like the womb of the mother. So whatever this caterpillar, it's two things this caterpillar can come out to be. The caterpillar can come out to be a beautiful butterfly that was nourished properly, or it can come out to be a mouse. And who wanna be a mouse? Then the female, they roar when they see a mouse. The mouse can't come out number nine. I'm talking about one of those little flying mouse that you ever saw that hang around the light and light around the bulb and don't fly from the nobody like those. Or you can come out to be a butterfly. That flying so at night in the booth of demonstration. So I believe what we're doing is we create a mouse. What I mean, you know what I'm talking about, the little shabby little dust busting little thing that, you understand me, that can't come out in the night to kill. In the daytime, you sleep. So we need to nerve from the womb some butterflies, God, and I peace with that.
That's power, God. You're absolutely right, man. Don't nobody want to be the moth, man. You know, we want to be the butterfly, you know, come out beautiful. But sometimes you got to go through that stage of struggle, you know, that stage of hardship in order to reap the benefits of being that beautiful butterfly. Queen, do we have any more callers?
Yes, we have 1676.
1676. Now live with us on the queue. Peace.
How you doing, brother? Man, I'm...
Peace, God. How you doing?
All right. Hey, man, I'm really enjoying this show, man. I'm really enjoying what y'all are talking about and discussing it. And it's these kind of topics and these kind of conversations that the powers that be don't get a chance to hear, because I'm hearing a lot of fathers, I'm hearing a lot of big brothers, I'm hearing a lot of wise men speak about our future and about our kids and about our... little brothers that's coming up, man, and they don't know that these kind of people behind these walls, that, you know, we have learned, we have grown, we have became wise. And, you know, many teachers have taught us, when you know better, you do better. And I want to just grab a hope to what the brother just said about his seed being my seed being his seed. That's one of the things we got to do. Once we come into the knowledge of what's right and how to direct and how to lead, we got to reach back not only to our kids, but to that younger brother, because your next door cellmate or your bunk partner, he may be a young father. He may be a 17-year-old father or 18-year-old father, but he wasn't raised right. And we got to give him some of our wisdom so he can reach back to his son or even his baby mom so she can know what to do and which way to go back and not be, you know, always calling home, fussing about this and fussing about that. You better not go out. You better not do this. You better not do that. That's not helping that child, because that child is going to be a reflection of that conversation between that mother and that the one that's gone. You know, you calling home, and the only thing you're doing is arguing and fussing about what she ain't did or what she is doing or how she ain't came to see you. Okay, but you got Jody out there that's paying bills. So who's she going to lean more to? And Jody may be a drug dealer. Jody may be another thug or another gangster that don't know the right way. And so now your son has got to choose. Do I choose to listen to my father that I go to see on Saturdays or Sundays, but he's cussing mom out and fussing mom, or do I choose to listen to this drug dealer who's out here paying these bills and making mom smile every now and then? So like the brother said, each one of our seeds are precious that we got to reach one, teach one as all, you know what I'm saying? And as well as those older ones, you know, if I got some wisdom that you can lean on and get, we talk, we share, we grow. Same thing, vice versa with you. And we gotta continue to be fathers when we not, whether you got a child or not, be that leader, be that one that he can look up to. That's what I do with a lot of the young brothers around me. Now I try to be an example to say, listen, I done did it. I done wore the T-shirt. Everything you doing, I done did it. But listen, I done learned a new way. I done seen a new way. And I want to show you that way. I want to show you that it's possible to be a man without balling up your fist or picking up a gun or picking up a shank or running around gangbanging all day. You know what I'm saying? We got to do that too. So, you know, I appreciate, man, that y'all continue keeping this thing positive and doing that. But like I said, I wish the powers that be could hear some of these conversations and see some of these men and see their growth. And know that there are men behind these walls that deserve to still be fathers and leaders in their community and bring that back. And with that, man, I'm sitting back and I close.
That's power, God, man. We truly appreciate that, man. You know, you hit it on the head, man. We got to get back to, you know, reaching our youth, whether it's our son, our brothers, our sisters, nieces and nephews or whatever. Even if it's just a little kid next door, you know, we got to start being the example that we want our kids to be, you know. And you're absolutely right, man. We each one teach one, you know, and the youth is the future. So, you know, it's our job, it's our duty, you know what I'm saying, that we make sure that we want to leave a legacy for them that they can build a foundation that will withstand the test of time. Appreciate your call, brother. Queen, do we have any more callers?
No, we don't.
Well, it's something that Mother Ray said that keep coming back to me, you know what I'm saying? And she said that we got to start in the womb, you know, training our kids the way that we want them to go. And that goes back to that seed. You know, we talked about the fruit tree earlier. But in order for it to be a fruit tree and to produce that fruit that is so succulent, first that seed must be planted in the right kind of soil. You know, it can't be thrown in a dry landscape. It can't be thrown where there's going to be thorns and thistles that are going to come up and choke it from reaching its full potential, but it must be planted in a healthy, nurturing environment. And after that seed had been planted, you must be attentive and aware of that seed by giving it the proper water that it needs, making sure that no worms or any kind of pesticide or insect get around it to hinder it from growing. And not only that, once that seed starts to sprout into the little bud, that seed must still get the proper sunlight, the proper water. It must pollinate. And as we think about that seed and as it grow and sprout into a beautiful stalk or fruit tree, we got to be the same way with our kids. We got to give them that same type of nourishment, that same type of nurturance, the same type of involvement, engagement, being aware on a consistent basis of their growth and development. With that, I yield. God, you got anything to add? Please, God, you got anything to add? Well, Queen, before we close out, I want to read one more poem. And it's entitled, The Son He Never Had. Won't you be my father? Won't you be my dad? That significant role model that I never had. The man I see on TV who takes his son for a walk, then to a fast food restaurant after a dad-to-son long talk. Yeah, I know what it's like to not have a dad around. He's in the service. He left a cigarette. He's in jail. He's in the ground. I often wonder if it was I, and I wonder if it could be me, that made him want to make that choice. Sorry, son, I must be free. But will I forever, a victim of circumstance, wondering if I'll ever see my eyes in someone's glance? I don't have a memory, but I know I had a dad. I just don't know if he was like the son he never had. That poem there is very deep. You know what I'm saying? To the father that's incarcerated, or to the fathers that's out there in society who have children and are not there, start being the father that you never had. Maybe this cycle will end. Start being more involved now while we have the time, the opportunity, because we never know when that opportunity may be gone. We got to stop taking things that are valuable for granted, because you never know when one day they're gone. Now is the time for us to reach our seeds and plant our seeds in proper ground, in a proper environment, so it can receive the proper nourishment that it may grow and be fruitful, so it can turn into that pretty apple, that orange, that peach, that strawberry bush. It's our duty. We can't keep leaving it up to someone else raising our child. It's time for us to man up now and be the father that we never had. Queen, do we have any more callers?
No, we don't.
Well, I want to read one more thing. This is from a census. It said in 1960, there were less than 300 single-parent fathers. But by 2011, that number has quadrupled to over 2.6 million. Versus in 1960, 1.9 million black women who were single-parent mothers. Compared to 2011, that number has quadrupled. And that stands at over, what, now actually is at 8.6 million, and that was in 2011. So we see that fathers are making a significant step in the process of being in their child's life. But we got to do more. We must do more. we can do more. But are we willing to do more? And as I stated earlier, yes, we can. Yes, I can. And that's being involved, consistent, aware, and nurturing. Queen, do we have any more callers?
No, we don't.
No, okay. Know what time it is?
15 out of 8.
How much time we have? 15 out of 8?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we can continue to build some more if need be. But now if you want to close the show out, it's on you. What I wanted to get out there is that everybody keep in mind that June 25th, we have a rally that's going on that's taking place at Kelly Ingram Park in Birmingham, Alabama, for the Incarcerated Lives Matter. With mothers and families, as well as the Free Alabama Movement. But this is going to be for Incarcerated Lives Matter on June 25th at Kelly Ingram Park in Birmingham, Alabama. Starts at 2 o'clock p.m. So anybody that's familiar with the area or stay close by to Birmingham, you know, let your parents, you know, let your family members know that that we're having a rally for Incarcerated Lives Matter, because, you know, not only does black lives matter, but the lost ones behind these walls lives matter as well, because we're human beings as well. We are someone, loved one, whether it be a child, husband, or whatever. So, everybody, make sure you get that message out there to your loved ones and let them know that there's going to be a big rally going on in our behalf at Kelly Ingram Park. And this is a historic landmark area where this is taking place at, because this is one of the areas that the civil rights movement played a major part in. And it's same area that Dr. King also walked and fought and protested and marched with different civil rights individuals. It's also in the area of where the 16th Street Baptist bombing took place at. That's a landmark right there, as well as the Civil Rights Museum and the A.G. Gaston Hotel and Boys and Girls Club, where it originally started at, as well as the old Tutwiler hotel that Dr. King once stayed at. So there's a lot of history down in that area dealing with our struggle and the fight that we took, you know, into bringing about changes to these oppressed and white supremacy system, you know. And even though we have came a long way, there's still a lot more to be done. Because not only does incarcerated lives matter, all lives matter. And with that, I yield. Queen, you have anything to add?
I'm going to take this last caller, and then we're going to close out.
Okay.
Okay, we have 7002.
7002. Peace, you're not allowed in the queue.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I wanted to thank good and you. How are you?
I'm
wanted
fine,
to
well.
Thank my brothers and sisters. My name is Naisha. I'm from Texas, and I've been sitting and chewing on everything that you guys were talking about, and I totally agree. As an educator for about 20 years dealing with children, I have seen so many different types of children coming in and out with parents that are incarcerated, and, you know, just parents that are neglecting and different things like that. And I totally agree, it starts from the home. And I was listening to a lot of my brothers, and it really encouraged me listening to them talk about how, you know, it takes a village to raise these kids, and that is so true. It takes showing them that teaching them that respect and just educating them. It starts at the home. It starts with the community and at home, because us teachers, we do the best that we can when we get them. But we feel that as educators, it does. It starts in the home. It starts in the womb, and it starts coming out of the womb and constantly educating them about these things. And so I just want to encourage you guys, and thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, we thank you. We appreciate you all calling in and giving us your feedback, your support. You know, you're absolutely right. You started in the house home, you know, even though you are a teacher and basically play a major role in the development of the child, but at the same time, it must take place from the household, because that's where a kid is spent majority of time besides school, you know. And if we don't get that care and that love from home, where will we get it from, you know? Nowadays, you know, you got a lot of teachers don't even really care about the child because, you know, they feel like we don't want to learn, you know. The child got a behavior problem. They don't know how to deal with them. Instead of taking the time out to find out what's really going on with that child, not only with itself, but in the household. So you're absolutely right. We appreciate you calling in with your feedback. Queen, if you have anything you want to say, we can prepare to close out. We don't have any more calls.
No, I don't. Go ahead and close out.
Okay. Well, appreciate everybody calling in tonight, you know, and building on this topic, like father, like son. We will get back to it again because this job never ends, you know what I'm saying? We're becoming a diminishing breed. And the thing is, we can't continue to blame the white man or everybody else for our problems, because now we know the problem, and we now know the solutions to the problem. So what are we going to do about them? So it falls up to us. We can't keep pointing the finger, because once you point one, there's one more pointing back at you. So with that, I end, and I wish you all peace, love, and blessing. I thank you for calling in tonight, giving us your support, your feedback. Peace to you, Queen Kamara, for giving us your time and being on the switchboard for us. Wish everybody a good night. Peace, blessing, and love. Thank you.
Wow. Peace and blessings.
Darkness no longer, a child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby kissed his lungs. My daddy's not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting craps on his knee. Another victim born out here in the hood. And based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the path, and daddy can't find, and it can't be seen, the family becomes a crime. The hunt is on,